Retirement in a family-owned restaurant serving the highest quality of beef and seafood for over 26 years, Surf and Sirloin. For reservations, 822-3637, 822-3637, or online at surfandsirloin.com.
This is Doug Vaughn here to tell you to call my friends Mark and Neil Gelman of Coldwell Banker Premier. Mark and Neil's incredible marketing strategy sells more homes, over $500,000, all with five-star reviews. Find the Gelmans online at 590homes.com and start packing.
Certain restrictions apply.
The Village Bar is open Monday through Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. for curbside pickup, and the dining room is now open. Get a couple burgers for yourself, or their quart-sized chili is perfect to feed the entire family. Located at 12247 Manchester Road in De Pere. To order, call 314-821-4532.
Hey Mizzou fans, it's the voice of the Tigers, Mike Kelly. Since 1994, I've had the privilege of describing Mizzou football on the radio. I can't wait for the start of my 27th season and the beginning of the Eli Drinkwitz era. Coach has energized his players and Tiger fans across the country with his determination to deliver a new zoo. You can feel the passion every time he speaks. Buy your season tickets today at 1-800-CAT-PAWS or online at MUTigers.com. We'll see you at the new zoo.
At Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway, our mission is to provide our fans, racers, and sponsors with a first-class and up-close personal racing experience. This includes unprecedented access to the drag strip, the oval, the road racing track, and a nationally sanctioned karting track, plus special events such as concerts and corporate functions for year-round activities. And it's all just 5 minutes from downtown. For more information, visit WWTRaceway.com or call 618-215-8888.
Shop local for all of your medical and sanitation supply needs with family-owned St. Louis staple, Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply. Work with Marco and his family directly, and they will handle your order. Masks, hand sanitizer, sanitizing wipes, disposable gloves, thermoscanners, and more. Everyone is getting back to work, and Bertarelli Cutlery can customize your plexiglass dividers for your workplace. Contact Marco directly by emailing marco@bertarellico.com or calling 314-323-0712, and he will take your order and take care of you.
We all know local restaurants and food producers have been hit hard recently. As one of the few places still open, Schnucks is committed to supporting those local companies that need help from all of us right now. In an effort to support them, Schnucks is bringing in more food from local restaurants and food producers than they normally would. As a local food company themselves, Schnucks knows they can help. That's why Schnucks is asking you to please consider local food when you shop at Schnucks. Schnucks, a local company supporting local companies.
Mom, what do you always say?
There's nothing sadder than jewelry that sits in a drawer.
That's why we are proud to offer jewelry repair on-site at Neusetter's Fine Jewelry. We know that your jewelry is important to you, and we take that part of our job very seriously. Visit us at Doherty Ferry in Big Bend or learn more at wowdiamonds.com.
This is Doug Vaughn here to tell you to call my friends Mark and Neil Gelman of Coldwell Banker Premier. Mark and Neil's incredible marketing strategy sells more homes, over $500,000, all with five-star reviews. Find the Gelmans online at 590homes.com and start packing.
And get your hat, leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
Someone with similar intestinal problems. We've seen several people being delivered from the colostomy bag. Sotobasilia, disability with a child, some type of a learning disability. We've seen many, many children healed. We've seen midgets grow.
Crossed over.
Oh, man. Those evangelists, they can do anything. Make a midget grow. You got some influence with God if you can make a midget grow. That's powerful.
On the sunny side of the street.
I just had to do that. It feels good sometimes. You just go, I pulled in here and it was raining like crazy, and now look out, and it looks like the sun is out like it never rained a drop. But the temperature is nice, and all in all, it's a good day. Not for everybody. A lot of people are in the hospital. Dan Strauss' mom's in the hospital. He's back today. And in a minute, we will let you, we'll let him update you on his mom's condition. And thanks to those of you who emailed me.
Holy moly.
Asking about his mom, and I wasn't able to tell you much, but he's here today, so he'll be able to tell you a lot more. Welcome aboard. I have a feeling it's going to be a good day and a good show, except for the fact, folks, that we're off at 5:30. So we're going to make some adjustments here.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Right.
Yeah, you need to call Mr. Evans, see if he can go on this hour, and then Josh Bauman next hour, and then we'll... We may eliminate quick all the introductions. Playhouse. We'll do a quick playhouse and a joke, and boom, we're out of here at 5:30. And don't be mad at us. Don't email us. We have nothing to do with it. It's right to the St. Louis Grizzlies. Email them.
The Memphis Grizzlies.
I'm sorry, Memphis Grizzlies. I'm sorry. That's how much I know about it. That's baseball. That's all I know. So we have a contractual obligation to play, where they're stationed here, so 5:30. And it's going to happen one other time, I think, in a couple of weeks. This month of August, we'll be off again at 5:30. Not the end of the world. It's 30 minutes, but we don't like it because we like to work hard. And we like to work a lot. We like to work long hours. And when you shave 30 minutes off, it throws us. So we'll have to figure out what to do with ourselves for 30 minutes. But we're glad you're here. It is a special day today because, and I wait for this every year. Because unlike some people like my daughter who hate it, I love the song by Bobby Gentry. Because this is the day, I've been waiting for this, where the song said, the 3rd of August. Well, it's another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Was it 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day?
I had it wrong. I've been singing the 3rd of August.
A couple of months.
Okay. I was wrong.
Month off.
I was wrong.
It happens.
A month? No, 2 months off, right?
I wanted to correct myself, by the way, before we get into the Burke segment or whatever you want to talk about with what's going on with the Cardinals, because I said an inaccurate number.
What?
I know. It happens.
First time.
It happens pretty much once a day.
Okay.
I said seven additional players had tested positive for COVID. It's 7 total players, so they now have 13 members of the organization that have tested positive for COVID-19. Wow. 7 players. 6 staff members, they're still under quarantine in the hotel in Milwaukee. All of their games have been canceled for this week through Thursday as well, which will mark, the 3 against Milwaukee. So that'll be 7 now total games that they have missed. Wow. And they're sending players back to St. Louis. They sent the first 3 back to self-quarantine at their residences in St. Louis. Now 4 more and 6 staff members have been...
They're going to cancel the season.
What do you think the over-under is for canceling?
See, here's 15th? The positive PR spin is that the same thing happened to the Philadelphia Phillies.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have any players test positive, but they still missed all the games last week because they're the ones that played the Marlins who had the 17 players.
So they had to quarantine anyway.
The Phillies have been cleared to return to play.
Oh.
So what do you think,
I think
is going to happen?
I think that the Cardinals have they have a 30-man roster. 7 of them have tested positive. I think if the other 23 test negative 2 days in a row,
right,
and they have a taxi squad of players down in Springfield, they'll bring those guys up, and I think they'll eventually resume play, but they're going to have to play a whole ton of doubleheaders to make up for all these games they've missed. They've only played 5 games. The Cubs have played 10.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's they'll eventually play them, but they're going to play, it's going to be a bunch of doubleheaders.
Who's the person that has to sit and go, ugh, and reschedule and move? And who is that person?
Well, it's Major League Baseball and John Mozeliak. I mean, literally, it's day-to-day.
That has to be a nightmare.
And then the doubleheaders are going to be 7-inning games.
They've shortened them to 7-inning games
instead of 9.
So you have to have the 4th inning stretch, probably?
Yeah.
Well, I'm serious.
Well, yeah, because you can't have the 7th inning stretch if the home team's
winning.
The game would be over at the 7th inning stretch. The 7th inning stretch would be time to go.
That's basically what Little League is.
You know, one of my most embarrassing days was, and it was a long time, I was in my 20s. And a woman I worked at an ad agency, said something about 7th inning stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her, and she could tell I didn't know what she was talking about. Like, look, I'm a sports idiot. And I said, She said, you know what 7th inning stretch is? And I said,
Is this on the air?
Yeah, no, we were working in an ad agency. And I said something really dumb, rather than just say, I've learned now to just say, I don't know. And I'm not embarrassed that I don't know. But then I'm 20-something. I don't want to admit to a 40-year-old woman that I... And I said, oh, sure, seventh inning stretch. That's like a home stretch toward the end of the game. She went, no. No, it's not. So she told me what it was. And I never forgot it because I felt like an idiot. So I've learned to just not speak or say anything if I don't know anything. And that's a lot of the time. So we're glad you're with us. Dan is here. Dan,
yes.
would you... For people who don't know, your mom had this accident a Thursday morning, right?
Thursday about 11, yes.
Oh, that would in morning.
Yeah, in Bourbon.
Yeah.
And apparently she veered off the road. It was confusing. It was a curve, but there was also a driveway to go to like a canoe rental place.
And for anybody who listened and heard Bourbon and thought she was drunk, there's a place. It's Bourbon, Missouri.
Yeah, Bourbon,
down by
Missouri.
Sullivan.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. So she went left or right?
The curve went left, but there was a driveway to go into a canoe rental place.
Yeah.
And she kind of, and I don't know if she was paying attention. You know how some people, like you'll look over or do something or whatever. We're not sure what happened there. But
she hasn't been able to tell people.
No.
She didn't remember it.
No, right. She has no idea. So she ended up on that driveway to go to the canoe rental place. Then she tried to compensate and ended up off of that road a little bit. And then she ended up overcompensating and turned to get back on the road and went completely across the road and hit a tree.
How do you know all this? Did somebody witness this?
The state trooper,
yeah,
right?
State trooper. I talked to the state trooper.
And here's a good question. Were there witnesses? Did somebody see?
We have no idea if there were witnesses or anything, but they did accident reconstruction. And we had a couple of friends went out there and looked because the door that they had to take off of the car to get her out, they had to take the passenger side off to get her out,
so
is still there.
When they do these reconstructions, were they able to tell how fast she was going when she hit the tree? Probably pretty fast.
No, she drives like a turtle.
Really?
Everywhere.
Okay.
Yes.
But to do the damage that was done to her, she couldn't have hit it at 10 miles an hour.
Not at 10 miles an hour. No. But she was probably doing, probably 40, 45 tops with her.
Yeah, but you hit a tree at 45. That's
But I bad. Think what happened was, and you should see, I'll show you the damage to the vehicle. A lot of it is on the side of, and the passenger, or the driver's side.
Right.
The driver's side door is just caved in like you wouldn't believe.
Which is why they took her out the other side.
Yeah. And but I think what I think is maybe she may have gone airborne a little bit and hit the tree sideways kind of. And doing that, her arm is completely messed up. Her left arm is messed up.
So the last you heard was there probably, it looks like they're going to have to take her arm off.
Yeah.
Amputated at the elbow.
There's a probability, but there is a glimmer of hope. It's been a roller coaster with the arm.
Yeah.
So,
you told me something this weekend, and I think this is worth, I'm not telling the story for you.
Yeah.
I don't want you to forget to mention this, because I don't think it's something you would share or include. The reason it's always so good to get the opinion of two doctors is you said there was a doctor who right away, okay, the arm's coming off. We're going to have to amputate the arm, just like that. But then another doctor said, not so fast.
Yeah,
right.
That right there, imagine, now she may lose the arm, but let's say she doesn't.
Yeah.
If you'd only listened to that first guy, the arm would be gone.
Yeah, we were talking, and one of the doctors said, well, there's no sense in saving that. Oh, time out here.
Yeah, there's a way. There's a way to talk to doctors and make them really understand what it is you're trying to say without making them mad. If you do that, you lose.
Yeah.
But if you can get them alone and just say, look, and I've done it, it works usually because, I'm sorry, doctors, if you're listening, but some doctors, not all of them, but too many of them, have an attitude, and they have this God complex.
We met one of them like that.
And sometimes they act like they don't really even want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
They stop by because they had to. Well, how the vital signs, and then they leave, and the nurses do all the work. And I'm not saying that's every doctor, but too many of them do that.
Lawyers too. I've met lawyers that have that.
Yeah,
it's that attitude.
An unbelievable attitude.
And then when you get one that actually acts like, I'm not in a hurry, take all the time you want, I'm listening. Wow, you get that guy.
Well, that doctor, though, did end up consulting and backed off of everything and let, now there's a team of doctors that are kind of looking at this, and a specialist is coming in tomorrow to check on things. There's blood flow, there's a lot of different things going on that are positive with it, and they're doing everything they can to save it. And one of the things, there was one doctor that my sister-in-law met and said that this one is one of those arrogant doctors with no bedside manner at all.
And, right.
But the nurses up there have been unbelievably, it's crazy how good they are.
I think a lot of doctors are never told by patients, you're an a-hole. They're not. And they get away with it. Can I tell you a real quick story? Because when Dan told me about all this, I had flashbacks to a couple of things in the hospital. For 25 years of my life, I was in excruciating pain almost every night, and I had discussed suicide because the eye pain on a scale of 1 to 10 was a 9. And I told my wife, and I told my kids, and I told a couple of doctors, if it gets to a 10, I'm gone. I'm taking myself out. I couldn't stand it. It hurt so bad for 25 years. I saw 16 ophthalmologists in 6 states. Wow. One of the guys I saw, I don't remember his name, was at St. Louis University. And the doctor who sent me over to him and said, you need to go see this guy. He's brilliant, but he's, you won't like him. He is cold and rude, and essentially he's an a-hole. I said, well, if he can stop the burning, I don't really care. I go to see this guy, and after waiting outside, and then you go in, they have you sit on the tissue paper table.
Right.
This guy walks in with a clipboard, and he's looking at the clipboard. He doesn't even look at me. And he keeps looking at the clipboard, and he's talking, and he still never looked up at me. He's looking, well, so it looks like, so you, eyes hurt. And finally, I said, hey, man, look at me. Look at me. Look up at me. And he looked up. And I said, when were you finally going to actually look at me, introduce yourself, say hello or something? My guess is never. I said, here's what I want to say to you, and you can run me out of here if you want to. A couple of doctors who told me about you said right up front, you're an a-hole. They used the word. And I said, and they were right, you are. And as I'm talking to him, he looked like somebody had slapped him, and nobody talked to him like this. And I said, I may be patient number 13 today or whatever, but I'm the only one right now you should be caring about. I'm in tremendous pain every night. Now, if you're the guy who can help me, let's get on with it. But maybe you could act like you actually care and you want to help me. And he looked at his watch, and I said, are you kidding me? I said, you looked at your watch just now because you know it's noon, and it was exactly noon. I said, is that lunchtime for you? You're not having lunch today. I said, that woman right out there, can she order you a sandwich? Because I'm not leaving, and you're not leaving. Order a sandwich. I spent an hour waiting for you. I want at least half that time. And to his credit, he turned to her and said, Linda, did you get me whatever sandwich? He looked at me and said, can I get you anything? And I said, that's more like it. And we spent an hour together, but I had to force him to do it.
Right.
When my wife's dad, who I was crazy about, he was the greatest father-in-law and the greatest grandpa, and died much too young from prostate cancer. And when he was dying in the hospital, he's in a semi-private room. Did you ever try to have a real family conversation to someone who's with somebody else in the bed in the room? It's horrible. I went outside and I said, look, my father-in-law is dying. He's got a day. Can we put him in a private room so all of the people who want to say goodbye to him can do it and not have it being heard by somebody else. And a doctor said, well, you know, we're full. And I'm sorry, we just don't have any rooms. Very abruptly. So when he left, I went over to the nurses' station. I love nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let me ask you a question. If the president of the United States were rolled in here right now, he's in St. Louis, and he had chest pains, and they ran him in here, would you put him in a private room? You know you would. And you know that room is somewhere in this hospital. I want my father-in-law in that room now. And she, within 15 minutes, they took him into the private room that the doctor said they didn't have. And that's where he passed away, and that's where we all had a chance to tell him
right.
He was the greatest grandpa, the greatest blah, 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 as he was exiting the world. So hospitals can be wonderful, and nurses can be wonderful, doctors can be wonderful, but it can also be, and Dan said earlier, your mom hates hospitals.
Oh, my God. She's already, they took her off a ventilator yesterday and have been slowly getting her more responsive and more awake. And she's been trying to talk, but you have that ventilator in, her voice is right. Very raspy, very, very quiet, and so it's really hard to understand her.
Well, depending on how they treat her, she may end up changing her mind about hospitals.
Oh, they
because that's what usually does
it. I'm just curious, and I don't mean to say this to start any type of agitation. Did they test her for COVID?
That's a great question.
I wonder what the policy is of anybody who comes to the hospital for any reason. Do they immediately test
them
for COVID?
That's a great question.
You know what? I have never asked that, but you know what? I will ask.
That's a fantastic question.
It is. I don't know.
And
they may have, but I don't know.
Well, the only other thing I'll say, and to you nurses and nurse practitioners, we love you, and you are... You have no idea, I don't think, how some of us appreciate what you do. Nothing against doctors, but wow.
And we have a favorite nurse. Her name is Kelly, but it's a favorite. But the other ones are just a smidge below Kelly. Kelly is, like, awesome.
The best nurses have the ability to make you feel like you're the only patient they're mm-hmm. taking care of. They do. You just get that feeling like they're all in for you. And I think that's what some of them lose. They lose that ability, or they forget that we need to feel like right now, this is your project. My son, my wife, my mother, whatever. Nothing else matters except that.
One of the things that happened today was, and my sister-in-law was in there, thank goodness, but one of the things that happened today was that she said that she was hot, and she felt hot.
Yeah.
So she, you know that gown that they have on them?
Yeah.
She started taking that gown off, and there's nothing on underneath it.
Right.
And so the nurses came in and said, no, 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 you can't do that. So they put everything back together again, and then she reached down and grabbed the bottom of it, and just tore the whole thing off, so she's all exposed. Uh-oh. And they're like, you can't do that. So now they actually had to put a glove on her, one of those gloves, like a boxing glove, because she's already pulled her feeding tube out.
Mom,
she's feisty. She's
something.
She's very, very feisty, and I told them once she starts getting her faculties about her and understands what's going on, they're probably going to have to strap her down.
I know it's probably ridiculous, but the very few times I've had to have somebody in the hospital or have something done, if it's one of my kids, one of the things I say to the doctor is, do you have kids? And if they do, I'll say, all right, I want you to just pretend this is your child, and do everything for my child you do for your child. And it's probably unnecessary, and they're probably thinking that I've heard this before, but I feel better doing it that way. And I'm hoping maybe it sinks in a little bit.
Or in this case, pretend like this is your mother.
Your mom, absolutely, yeah, or your grandma. She's 84, right?
Yeah.
Well, we hope she makes it. And it's a horrible thing to lose your arm at any age,
mm-hmm.
but I guess if I had to lose an arm, I'd rather have had 84 years with it than lose it at 20. I know that doesn't make it better.
No, and the biggest thing is with her is she's left-handed.
Yeah, and this is the left arm.
And this is the left arm, and she plays, and she lives to do this. She plays the organ at church every Saturday and Sunday.
Well, she has a chance to blow him away by playing with one hand.
I'm telling you.
That drummer had Def Leppard, one arm.
I know, but
Rick Allen.
We said if anyone can figure it out, she will play the organ with one hand and use her feet for the bass notes.
Oh, I bet she will.
On the thing, yeah. All right,
well, we wish her the best, and so does the audience. And
Oh, my God, the audience.
For the update.
We put some stuff, I put some things on Facebook, and I'm going to show her.
Yeah, 364 people that replied to it when I saw it this morning.
It was crazy. But that was the other day. But the other day, the very first one I put on, there was like 800 people that commented.
No, this audio, this is fantastic audio. I've always said that.
They're unbelievable. But I am going to show her once she gets going, because she doesn't really know who we are right now.
Yeah, you said she didn't even know she had kids.
Yeah, my brother asked her, do you have any kids? And she said, no, I just have cats. And she does. She has two cats. She knows two of her friends' names, and that's pretty much about it. But that's fairly typical.
I don't want to make you feel bad, but years ago when I met her, I said, are you Dan's mom? And she said, no. She just didn't want to admit that you were her son.
Yeah.
A lot of
my family does that. Yeah.
Well, I understand it. So let's go to the dentist, and then we're going to do the Burke segment. The dentist, of course, Ballast Dental Care. I'm going to get scolded when I go in there. I was supposed to go in at least a month ago, and I'm late. I've been very busy, and it's just been a weird 2020 again, the year from hell. And I'm not kidding. Between COVID and just a bunch of other crap, but I have to get in pretty quickly. They're booked, because if you remember, Ballast Dental Care, like a lot of businesses, had to shut down for a while. So now all of those appointments, they're trying to catch up, as well as the new ones. So when I call, they may tell me it'll be a month or two, but that's okay. The point is, I'm going to make an appointment, and you should too. You should do it now, because there may be a little bit of a wait. Depending on the severity of the situation, it's an emergency, you need to get, they'll get you in there if that's the case. There's the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads. I've gone there 47 years. I like going to Ballast Dental Care. That is a weird statement to say you like going to the dentist. I don't like going to the dentist. I like going to Ballast Dental Care. And there's a difference. And you'll never understand the difference until you make one appointment, and that's all I ask. If you don't like it, don't go back. Not going to happen. Ballast Dental Care. Again, the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads, ballastdentalcare.com. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Tim Woodburn, everybody.
Oh,
you're welcome.
Thank you.
I have an answer to Tim's question. Yes, she was tested, and it was negative.
Oh, good.
Yeah, my sister.
What if it had been positive?
I don't know. If it would have been positive, we probably wouldn't have been able to go in and see her.
Probably, yeah.
Well, when I had my knee surgery on May the 20th, they told me if I tested positive, I couldn't have the surgery. So,
wow.
So because they didn't want, you know, people around me, you know, that I would have to go into quarantine. But I mean, you know, she's got, obviously, in a situation like this, Dan's mom probably has to have medical procedures to save her life.
Right, COVID or not.
So,
in your case, I guess they thought, well, it's elective, tough it out.
It's an elective surgery, and, you know, just walk around on one leg for another month, Mr. Woodburn.
Yeah.
No, it's already been two.
Mm.
So I just wanted to report with great delight, I reenacted for my family yesterday. They threw a little birthday party for me yesterday because my birthday was last Monday, and so we couldn't get together until yesterday. And with great delight and on video, which I threatened with violence because I didn't realize it was being videotaped, I reenacted the incident that occurred in this parking lot last Thursday when I had all my belongings in my head and my pants came down. I reenacted it, and my pants fell to my ankles, and my little nieces are busting out laughing. And I realized my little 9-year-old niece has this thing I don't even know what it's called, but it's a cool looking device. It's a camera, and it records audio and video, and you can hold a button, and it'll swing around. It'll do a 365 degree you know, circle of the room, and like you can just like kind of set it there discreetly, and you can like record like an entire party or what was said or whatever.
So this pass down does exist on video?
It does, and I threatened with violence its release on Facebook because that was mentioned.
But your 9-year-old, what is it, niece?
Yeah.
Has a price, and I'll find out what her price is, and we will get that video, and it'll be on our Facebook page of your pants coming down, and then we'll lose our whole audience. We need to thin the audience out anyway. I think it's really big, like 4 million people. Yeah,
right, thin the herd.
Yeah. Anything else?
No.
All right. Anybody else? Perk segment. Dan, anything other than your mom?
No.
All right, Limey?
Nope, I got nothing.
Nothing? Mm-hmm. A weekend with Theo and nothing?
Weekend, well, I just hung out with him. There was a moment, and I got to say, like, Huggies diaper brand is my go-to brand, because we were...
As opposed to Pampers?
Or, as opposed to any other
brand. By the way, what are they? Pampers, Huggies,
Loves. Oh, my God, there are so many.
Loves. Those are the big ones.
I think so, yeah.
And then there's some generic, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Every company's
he deserves better than generic.
He gets Huggies. There my boy gets Disney-themed Huggies. And I got to say, these are the best ones. Because we were playing on the couch, we were rolling around. And at one point, he sat on my head, right? Ooh. And I was like, hang on a second, this is a kind of a loaded diaper here.
Oh.
I checked, and it was, I mean, it was filled. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord.
And he sat on your face.
He sat on my face.
And none of it came out.
And none of it came
Huggies.
Out.
Huggies.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go, Huggies.
Way to go, Huggies, man. There is definitely a Jesus in that, and there is some good diapers.
Have you had the deal happen yet where you're changing him and it's that real runny poop?
Oh, and it goes to the back?
And your hand slips.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you got it all.
No, no, the best one was, I think, about a month or two ago. He had some runny stuff, like we're talking mustard yellow.
Oh, boy.
And as I'm lifting up his leg, it's one of his feet slipped out, and it just whoop. Right into it.
Just splattered
right into it. So now I'm trying to hold his foot, right, and wipe his foot off while also getting the dirty diaper off and making sure his butt doesn't touch the mat because it's all covered in it. And he was having a great time.
Why don't you wear gloves?
Huh?
Get some gloves. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, true, actually.
Why not?
You know?
Because when you get baby doo-doo on your hands, you can wash your hands. It's so potent.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? There's a smell to baby poop.
It doesn't leave.
You wash your hands 10 times. It's just psychological, but you still smell
it's there,
for like a day.
But once it gets into your nose, it's stuck there.
Yeah.
I wrote a story in my Bad Mood, Good Mood book called The Worst First Date Ever, which the quick recap is, I drove my buddy to a first date at a real nice house, and he had to take a deuce. She wasn't ready, they directed him to the upstairs bathroom, which had carpet in it, if you can believe, or a throw rug, like a white, really nice throw rug.
And that's a smart color.
And he does his business and then doesn't flush and then over wipes and tries to send it all down with one flush.
Oh, boy.
And it got clogged up.
Oh.
And it overran the toilet and came out onto the, and it started soaking through the white plush rug.
Oh.
And instead of having to face the family of what he had just done on a first date, I might add, and I got my girlfriend with me, and we were picking this girl up to go to dinner. It was snowing outside and everything. Instead of facing the family and letting them know what he did, he took out his pocket knife, he cut the caulk away from the window that was over the bathtub, lifted the window up, dropped to the ground from the second floor, got in my van, and screamed at me to get out of there.
They know who he was.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. But what do you do? You're at this house, and it overflows.
I mean,
what a horrible... And what you have two choices. Escape, like he did, or... Go downstairs and go, folks.
I got good news and I got bad news and I got worse news. Yeah.
Well, I got good news. I feel better. The bad news is
you're gonna need a new rug.
Yeah.
How much did that rug cost? Just out of curiosity. Why do you want to know? Just tell me how much it costs. Why do you want to know? Because I'm gonna send you a PayPal right now.
In the bathroom, brown rug, not white.
Always good for dark-colored rugs in a bathroom.
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
I guess we can close it.
Yeah,
Mark's segment is officially closed.
That was so funny.
God. Wilford Brimley died over the weekend.
Yeah.
One of my favorite actors.
I've got diabetes.
And the Quaker Oats. He did. But for people who go, ooh, Wilford Brimley, who was that? Trust me.
if you've ever seen a Western, you know who Wilford Brimley is. He was the spokesman for Quaker Oats. He did the diabetes thing. But he was a natural. If ever a guy was, like, born to look like somebody to be in the movies he was in.
Did you read his obituary, his full obituary?
No.
He's one of the few people to make it pretty big in Hollywood without ever, ever taking a single acting class.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
He was a farmer. He was a rancher. He lived in Kansas, and he bounced around Oklahoma, worked on farms and ranches, and somebody just that he came across said, you know, you got the perfect personality to have this bit part in this thing I'm producing.
Right.
And he agreed to do it, and he liked it, and he started doing more bit parts, and then he finally moved out to California and started appearing in Western movies. That's how his career happened.
Yeah, who else?
Pure luck.
Yeah, you know, so I think probably never had an acting lesson. I could be wrong. He's just a natural. Robert Duvall. You ever see this guy? Kind of the same. He's just the perfect character for the things he was in.
The first thing
he was in was To Kill a Mockingbird. Way, 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 way back, black and white with Gregory Peck. He played the part, I'm pretty sure, of Boo Radley, who all the kids were afraid of. It was supposed to be crazy and a killer or whatever. I think that was Robert Duvall. All right, Josh Bauman is here, and I'm going to wait until Dan. I thought we were going to get
Dan. We are. I just got a hold of him, so I'm going to call him in a minute. If you want to take Dan's call, I'll get him on.
Okay, I'll take. We'll get Mike Evans on early because we're off at 5:30.
And to answer your question, Robert Duvall was actually in the military, and he convinced the military to let him take acting classes on the side.
There you go. Wow. There you go. Go to Dan. He's been patiently holding. Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Great.
Good afternoon, everybody. I am AM into PM.
What's up, Dan?
First of all, I'm glad our prayers are coming true for Dan's mom because she's a firecracker, and I'm happy that she's doing as well as she is. The other thing is, Frank, you know, I don't know if you talked to him over the weekend, but today Tony Bennett turned 94 years old, and he's getting ready to go out on a 7-city tour. And I was just wondering if you have been able to talk to him over the weekend.
Is today his birthday?
He's 94 today.
Well, that explains. I saw where he called me, and I didn't listen to the voicemail yet. That's probably why he called. He wanted me to mention his birthday. I'll try to get a hold of him. 94.
He's 94, and he's going on 7 city tour in the next couple of weeks. And nowhere near St. Louis, but he's going on tour.
Unbelievable. That guy.
Yeah.
And he still sounds pretty much the same, you know.
Yeah.
I left my heart. You got that little gravelly thing going there. All right, well, thank you. Now I know I should have listened to his voicemail. Thank you, Dan. Yeah, good friend of the show, Tony Bennett. So check in with him later. I believe we have Mr. Evans, if you want to hit the music. I know, it's weird. This normally happens about 5:45 or so. From Dallas, Texas, early today because we're off at 5:30. Mike Evans, brought to you by Annie Gunn's Restaurant and the Smokehouse Market. In Chesterfield Valley, east of most of that other stuff, closed only on Monday, which would be, today. That's the only day they're closed. And they sell a lot of gift cards, thousands, every year, because who wouldn't want a gift card from Annie Gunn's or the Smokehouse Market? You need reservations if you're going to have lunch or dinner at Annie Gunn's. Here is Mike Evans. Seems a little weird doing this at 3:49:31.
I don't start drinking wine till 4. So
I know. Can you even do this without drinking wine? This will be interesting. Let's see. We'll see.
I know one thing. It was National Watermelon Day, homie.
I love watermelon.
Do you like watermelon?
But I got to have a salt shaker. I don't eat it without salt.
I don't get
I don't get that at all.
I like it that way, too.
It's a southern thing.
My mom is the same with cantaloupe, but I'm really on watermelon.
I also salt cantaloupe.
I don't do that. Oh,
don't get it. That's weird.
I can't salt watermelon either. I know a lot of people
can't
that
either.
Do it.
I do put jalapeno in my fruit salad. Because it's a fruit.
It'll never die. So what's going on, Homer?
Oh, boy.
Got some love nuggets for you. Sean Penn will turn 60 years old today.
Wow. Good actor.
I'll make that next week. It's next week he turns 60. And he has married, over the weekend, 29-year-old Layla George.
The man's world.
We're not
worthy. She's an actress, best known for her flop movie called Mortal Engines. It lost $20 million. A couple other notes. Layla is 2 inches taller than Sean Penn. And Sean Penn's oldest daughter is the same age as Sean Penn's new wife.
Well, they'll be good friends.
There you go. Exclusive, all photographs of Kanye West when they were fighting last week, Kim had thrown out of the house. All photographs of Kanye West, Kim had removed from the house.
Well, I don't think I'm the only person who does not care about either one of those people, but some people do.
Mike, do you know, and I did not know this, do you know who Sean Penn's first two wives were?
Yeah, Madonna and...
Yeah, I didn't know that. I forgot about that.
Who else?
Robin Wright, who played Jenny on Forrest Gump.
Robin Wright, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
And played in House of Cards, lead character in House of Cards.
He looks like he would be difficult.
A jerk.
Four years. Yeah. They both lasted 4 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
A love nugget in reverse. The morons at MGM Studio Promotion Department have decided that when the press junkets and the premiere begins for the next new 007 movie, No Time to Die, the female star, Ana de Armas, will not be allowed to bring her new boyfriend, Ben Affleck, along because they say that the media will pay too much attention to their relationship and not promote the movie enough.
No, I would think that'd be the opposite. They would welcome
that
attention.
I would think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Anna says, well, maybe I won't be able to make the press junkets in that case.
That'll show.
It would bring more attention to it, not
of course,
less.
Of course it would.
Over the weekend, Ellen DeGeneres met with her team to consider retirement, and for good reason. We've learned that there was one person on her staff whose whole job was to make sure that every guest that went on the show knew exactly what to compliment Ellen on when the cameras were turned on.
Oh, my goodness.
I got to tell you, this is something like we, I don't think, have seen before or very often.
Right.
When somebody that big, and I heard on entertainment show, she is the richest comedian in the world. Now, Jerry Seinfeld is worth like $800 million. How much must this woman be worth?
Nine former employees have claimed sexual harassment by Ellen or staff.
Wow.
And there's more. Some guests claim that they've been treated rudely by Ellen, including Steve Harvey, Tom Selleck, and Brad Garrett.
Yeah.
They just couldn't get uglier.
Well, here's the good news for her. She has so much money. If she quits, so what?
Oh, yeah. No, she's going to be absolutely fine.
I think she needs the spotlight, though, because she does that game show, right?
Ellen,
Yeah.
The brand is ruined.
Mike, how do you think she will, if she addresses it as she exits, how do you think she'll do it? I don't think she'll say, I've been a bitch. I think she'll say there was some behavior going on that I was unaware of, and some of my staff was treating people rudely.
I don't think she's going to do anything of that. I think she's just going to disappear and then release some statement on Twitter I'm so sorry for all those were affected.
I think she'll have to come up with some hokey.
Well, she already has Portia backing her up, which is really weird since they've been close to divorce 5 or 6 times.
I looked on Amazon for a poster of Ellen DeGeneres without makeup on, and Amazon said that item has been banned. I'm kidding.
But it should, because it would scare people, folks. If you want to frighten yourself, Google photos of Ellen DeGeneres with no makeup. You're not going to believe what you'll see.
It shouldn't even look human.
No, she looked like an alien.
You ought to look. You ought to see pictures of Pamela Anderson without makeup.
Oh, I've seen that.
Not good. Odds and ends. With theaters still closing, I like to tell you about movies or shows that are worth binging or on streaming platforms, but today I want to warn you about a movie to avoid. Coming to Netflix next month, another horrible George Clooney movie. This going straight to video again. It's called The Midnight Sky, corny, goofy, bad-written sci-fi. Clooney is an astronaut in the Arctic, strewned and trying to warn inbound astronauts about an Earth disaster. This thing makes Gravity look like Gone with the Wind. It is just horrible.
Have you ever seen anything George Clooney did where you thought, wow, what a great actor?
No.
Up in the air?
No. Oh, Dan.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one where he was really good. There's a couple.
The Hawaiian one.
Well, the one where he was the assassin, and he met the gal in Italy. And they met at the secret pond, and she was a double agent. She was going to try and kill him. It was really good.
Was he good because he's good looking?
He was a really good actor. And Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I thought he was hilarious.
He was good.
I need to watch that.
I haven't seen it. All right.
Zac Efron has been, I don't know what the deal is, but he's moving out of the United States to Australia. I got more people that are moving out of the United States coming up for you tomorrow.
Years ago, you're the guy.
I'm a Dapper Dan man.
I never heard of Zac Efron until you mentioned his name years ago when he just got started, and you said this guy has the potential to do great things.
And he really hasn't.
No, he hasn't. But I agreed with you. I agree with you. After I saw him, I thought, wow, he's good looking. It didn't happen for him.
I know. A lot of celebrities have been spending time during the coronavirus getting in shape. Not Jack Black. He's regained that 40 pounds that he lost.
Yeah, good for him. Way to go, Jack. Good for him.
Hey, our boy Jack.
I told you about Mike Tyson fighting Roy Jones Jr., but it was going to be more of an exhibition than a real fight. But now, with some snide comments from George Foreman and Floyd Mayweather, both Tyson and Jones are promising to knock the other out.
Oh,
I'll pay 50 bucks for that.
I would, too. I would, too.
I'll watch that.
I'll pay 50 bucks for that. So, I didn't know how much time I'd have.
You have 1 minute and 15 or 20 seconds.
Oh, so what did everybody do over the weekend?
Well, I shot a lot and spent a lot of time at my favorite gun store and bought a new rifle that I didn't need. What'd you guys do?
I had a birthday party yesterday and had homemade fried rice, mashed potatoes, or potato salad with no onions, and grilled and burnt burgers and brats on the grill.
Should I change jokes and tell the fried rice joke today in honor of your weekend?
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
Good enough time, I think.
Yeah.
So, Limey changed the diaper of his little boy, and Dan's mom was in a bad wreck, and that ate up his weekend, and we're wishing her the best because it was pretty bad.
I talked to Mike over the weekend.
I talked to Dan about his mom over the weekend, and I talked to Frank, who was on their way to go shoot guns with his son.
Yeah. We had a good time. So now...
I babysat grandchildren.
Well, good weekend all around, except what Dan had to go through. So you now have about 15 or 20 seconds.
15, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
That's creative.
My cabin's up!
The cabin's courtesy of Andy Gunn's Restaurant and the Smokehouse Market. I was in First Community Credit Union today, and sometimes you go... and the timing is just right. It's like nobody in line. When that happens at the Department of Revenue, I feel like, okay, it's a trick because that's always a wait. But I went in today, and they weren't real busy. I picked a great time to go. And I go in there as I've told. Popcorn's not there yet, by the way, First Community Credit Union. Looking forward to that returning. Not that I eat it all the time. I just like the smell of it. I like the smell of fresh popcorn. People like the smell of low rates, too. They like the smell of good rates. Right? They like the smell of the best rates they can get on money they save or money they borrow. And one of the things that causes a lot of people to change where they bank and causes them to leave their other bank and go to First Community Credit Union is their incredibly competitive rates. I've gotten emails for years about people say, well, we shopped around for a car loan. Nobody could touch First Community Credit Union. We shopped around for mortgage, home loan rate. Nobody could touch First Community Credit Union. I think four people in my family, three that I can think of right now, all their mortgages were at First Community, and they shopped around. They didn't go there because of me. They went there because they absolutely had the lowest rate. So if that's important to you, if service and services are important to you, then I have your banking facility, First Community Credit Union. There are over 40 of them, and they're the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. FirstCommunity.com if you want to know more. Josh Bauman will be with us after we check in with John Londoff. Thank you for joining us. I'm sorry we have to cut it short today at 5:30, but we'll cram it all in. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
The 590 The Fan app. Download it today in your app store.
KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. Negotiations to reach a new coronavirus relief deal continue at the White House, and President Trump says he's definitely playing a role, but he's claiming that Democrats are playing politics.
They want to bail out cities and states that have done a bad job over a long period of time. Nothing to do with coronavirus or China virus or whatever you want to call it.
Trump referred to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi as Crazy Nancy. Still, he says he's very focused on stopping evictions, adding he'll take executive action if necessary. The World Health Organization is deploying a larger investigative team to Wuhan, China, to look into the origins of the coronavirus pandemic.
Evidence and hypotheses generated through this work.